Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right it is. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with
Dave Binkley from We're in This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're along here with
CW to light the TNT and give you a blast off to a wonderful show and a great holiday weekend.
An explosive idea.
Yes, exactly. And I have to warn you, Dale, I really have spent a lot of time in the last 24 hours with a lot of exhaustive research that I made up and found out that UGG invented the very first bomb. And later on in this broadcast, I'll be able to tell everybody how UGG invented the bomb.
Awesome.
Whoa. Wow. Awesome.
So it's a jam-packed evening of entertainment. A blast of a story from CBS Radio and the Street Theater. Yay. Another birthday we missed yesterday, Dave. We covered Vincent Price and Chris Lee's birthday was yesterday. Thursday was Peter Cushing. Thursday was also the great Marion Morrison.
Oh, was it now? I didn't realize
that. Oh.
Yes. Yeah, darn
good old
right.
Marion Michael.
Yeah.
Yep, Marion Michael Morrison.
AKA,
yep, sir. Would have been 115.
AKA the Duke.
115. He was still alive.
Wow. So
dead.
If he were, yeah. So yep. If he were alive today, he'd be dead. That's right.
That's right. Well, it's time to play some radio. But before we get to that, a lot of fun tonight. What we hit over 62,000 listens overall. Over the last week or so. Been a busy week.
I guess that robot I employed helps a lot, doesn't it?
There are no bots. Okay, I can't prove it, but I don't know how to prove it, but there's no bots. There's really, there's no.
Yeah. Give that robot an extra can of WD-40.
There you go. Either of you see that cartoon, not cartoon, but it was a sort of a 3D animated cartoon of robots. I think Mel Brooks was even in it. It was a lot of fun, and they had a lot of retro looking robots in it. It was a cute kids movie.
Hmm.
Probably from maybe 10 years, somewhere between 7 and 10 years ago, I think.
I don't
investigate that.
I recall that off the top of my head.
Ah, fun movie.
In the top of my head is a point. That's why nothing sticks there.
There you go.
Was that a
good
movie?
It was called Robots, if not mistaken. Yep. 2005, Ewan McGregor, Halle Berry, and even Mel Brooks got in on the fun.
Wow.
Yep. From the creators of Ice
Age.
I
think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and the robots are very retro 50s looking, and it's a cute little adventure kid story with robots and stuff.
Have to look that one up, definitely.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with robots, ever. And we love you, Gar, by the way, with that being said.
Unless good robots go bad.
And we love you, Tim Ahrens.
Yes.
Did you guys get your books?
I did. Yes.
Did Gar get his? Do you know?
I do not know.
Yeah, Tim Ahrens was so nice. Our guest last week was kind enough to send us some of his novels. That's cool. I'm already into the first chapter. Tonight we got great radio, and again, UGG is coming to visit.
Yep. Learn another lesson in history.
Yeah. Prehistory,
Another prehistory. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why nobody knows this stuff. It was before, there really was a lot of, it was no written history. It's all pictures that have to be deciphered to figure these things out, you know.
Ah, Foxbane is a reader of Tim's stuff. He just mentioned that he needs to order the new one. Suggesting he read the first one. There you go.
Yeah. That's Tim Ahrens, The Grand Game.
I would be overwhelmed if someone like Piers Anthony had written a foreword in my book. I mean, that's a nice statement right there. Gives you some idea of what you're in for. When you get your copy of The Grand Game.
Yep.
Anyway,
this is I got the Salvation of what, Tangalal? T-A-N-L-E-G-A-L-L-E. Tangalal?
That's what I got. I got that one, too.
Okay, yeah. That was, and it's kind of interesting because it's a collection of short stories that he pieced together, not only at the beginning and at the end, but also with short little pieces in between some of the stories as well. So he took this collection of short stories and weaved them together, which is pretty cool. And very much, you know, taking the collection of short stories and putting them in a book like that is very much what a good deal of what Ray Bradbury did. Most of his books were collections, not a single story.
Yeah, and sometimes themed in one manner or another. But Bradbury was like that. Fantasy writer Michael Moorcock wrote a lot of short stories about some of his characters and ended up stringing them together. In fact, a lot of his characters were all part of a master story. So he had that took place in different.
I think Heinlein,
realms.
Heinlein did write a lot of, exactly, and Heinlein did write lots of books, but he did occasionally anchor his characters into his other books as well.
Robert E. Howard always said that when he wrote the stories, he felt as if Conan was speaking to him, so he would write them out of order. He says it was as if he was an old man recalling different moments of his life at different times and relating them to me. Which was kind of
I can understand that. I hear voices all the time. I just don't always do what they tell me to do. That's all.
Yeah, I do too, and they argue. And one of them's a girl.
Oh, yes. Here
what
we
does
are.
That say? I don't know what that says. Who cares? Nowadays. Deadly Dilemma is our story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep.
Any stars of note we should look for, Dave?
Let me pull up real quick. I think it's basically. I mean, they are
come
all.
In.
Hello. Yes, I think they're all radio stars, but I don't think any new ones from there.
Hey, no worries. We can bring you that information in between segments.
I am coming up with it right. Nope, I did not. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
There it is. Here it is. And the answer is, I think it's just, you know, kind of the usual suspects. William Prince, who does not always, you know, he appeared in quite a few, but not as many as, like, Ian Martin, who is also here. Patricia Elliott did quite a few. Earl Hammond did a lot. And this is another story brought to us by Ian Martin. So interesting tale of perhaps, well, I don't want to give it away. It's I guess I won't have to. It's a bomb somewhere in a plane and nobody knows where it is and they don't want to panic everyone.
Don't panic.
How's that?
Yeah. There's a bomb. Don't panic.
Yeah. Back to airplane. Yep.
Yeah. And let's see what a more serious version of Airplane turns out like with Deadly Dilemma. This one is show number.
Show number 274 from May 15th, 1970, and 5.
Ooh.
Hear ye, hear ye.
announcing the newest bicentennial weekend special on the CBS Radio Network, Exploring America 1776, with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault.
Every schoolboy knows that Nathan Hale was executed as a spy and may have said those words that rang through the ages, "I only regret I have but one life to lose for my country." But not so well known is Nathan Hale's career before the Revolution. We'll visit the little one-room schoolhouse near East Haddam, Connecticut, where Nathan Hale began teaching at age 18.
Travel with Charles Carrault on Exploring America 1776. 30 visits to the America that was and still is, including the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier of the American Revolution at Alexandria, Virginia, and Midway, Georgia, which called itself the Cradle of Liberty because of its strong backing of the revolutionary cause. Exploring America 1776, the weekend of May 24th and 25th on the CBS Radio Network.
Now, for a tale to tingle your spine, CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents The Deadly Dilemma.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. I've never shared a rather common phobia, the fear of planes. It comes in all forms. Some worry about takeoff, others sweat out the landing. And, of course, in the last few years, the rash of one of the world's most heinous crimes has been the skyjack. I shut my eyes to them all. I prefer to react to that unbelievable moment when tons of steel are magically airborne, when the peace of in-flight transports you to another world, and the wonder of landing 3,000 miles away, if you fly against the clock, brings you to your destination almost before you took off. Still, there are times...
This is your captain, Deacon Barnett. We will be traveling for the next few hours till we reach New York over water. We soon will be flying at 35,000 feet. Weather's clear. We should expect a smooth flight. Our ETA, estimated time of arrival at Kennedy Airport,
this is your jolly green Cobra.
8 a.m.
Nancy, get that glorious rear end of yours up front on the double with the manifest. Only do it as gracefully as you know how, and don't upset anyone.
What's wrong, Scotty? What do you mean, green
Cobra? Baby, don't ask questions. Just make like this is the Army. Don't ask questions. Move. We are in mucho trouble. And don't forget that manifest.
Our mystery drama, Deadly Dilemma, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars William Prince and Patricia Elliott. It is sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Burl Ive. You know, I've been telling you that Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice is a wonderful way to make an ordinary meal a great meal, and to keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because it's a delicious combination of Uncle Ben's rice, natural wild rice, herbs, and seasonings. It has a really distinctive taste just about every grown-up loves. But what about those everyday family meals? Well, now Uncle Ben's has a way to make them special, too, with Uncle Ben's new fast-cooking long grain and wild rice. It's flavored with a delicious but milder blend of herbs and seasonings, so it has a milder taste. It cooks in just 5 minutes, so it's easy to serve anytime with anything, chicken, hamburgers, whatever's on the family menu. So try Uncle Ben's new 5-minute fast-cooking long grain and wild rice. The whole family will love its milder taste.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
Mucho trouble. Flight 801 out of a small South American republic whose struggle to be born has kept it much in the news. Flight 801 headed for New York. A long, long flight. Already 2 hours underway. What kind of trouble? Mechanical or man-made? Certainly there are no signs of it as Angie Parsons, head stewardess, threads her way down the corridor of the half-filled plane.
Pardon me, senor.
For now. But speak English to me.
I just wanted to get past you, senor. Is there something you wanted?
Drink. Upstairs in the lounge. But now you are here. Won't you join me?
We can't drink on duty. Do you want me to stow your briefcase for you?
No. Muy importante. It stays with me.
Well, then excuse me. I have to get up front.
Yo estoy acongojada. Hasta luego, preciosa.
Hasta la vista, senor. Oh, excuse me, sir, but if you want to light a cigarette...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I burn you?
Well, yes. No, it's all right. But you can't light up here, sir. You're not in the smoking section. There's the lounge. Or we could move you back.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. I lit it without thinking. I'll put it out. I'm sorry I burned you.
Hostess.
Yes, sir?
Here, this is in no smoking section. Someone lit a cigarette.
It's all right, sir. He's put it out.
Ah, muchas gracias, señorita. I hate to complain, but I am a doctor, an obstetrician.
Uh-huh.
And my patients don't like it either. Besides, I have asthma.
Excuse me, hostess, but do you think I could get a glass of juice? Or water would be all right.
You travel first class, sister. The least you can do is have juice. I'll send one of the other girls with it. Now, if you'll excuse me, the captain just called me to the cockpit.
Oh, I wouldn't want to be any trouble.
Oh, no trouble. I'll take care of it right away.
Miss Parsons just brought in the manifest now. That's right. I'll run a check on it with you right away. I'll get back. 801 out.
Angie, what took you so long?
You said to make it casual and not to alarm anyone. What gives, anyway?
Take the ship, Scotty. I'll brief Angie.
Right, Skipper.
Let me have the manifest.
Here you are.
We got a problem, Angie. Nice king-size headache. I don't want to hand any part of it to you, but I got it. Do you know any of the passengers aboard this ship?
Well, a couple of people I recognize, regulars, guys I've met on other flights, salesmen, you know.
Good. We'll check them off in a minute. First, let's concentrate on our Senor Ramirez and group. First class, last-minute boarders. You got them?
Yes, sir. Like four. I guess all seem to know each other. Seated A, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ramirez, Perez, Ramos, and Marcos.
Check. That's like Smith, Brown, Jones, and Martin. Ramirez... is Senor Simeon Aguilar, the new presidente of the troubled republic we took off from 2 hours ago. The rest of the guys are his security guards.
But why would the president of a country travel on a commercial airline?
Angie, honey, they've got internal problems in that little country. Even the leading seltzer couldn't settle down. He's not our main problem.
Yes?
I just got a security flash from control that we may be carrying some political nut, a mad bomber, an assassin. A guy who could be ready not only to blow himself and El Presidente Aguilar to kingdom come, but the rest of us with him. I'm not quite ready for that.
Me neither. Angie and I are just about ready to announce it. Well, hell. Who has engagements anymore? We're gonna...
You got all my sympathy. Just fly the crate and let me concentrate. We've got to check through that manifest and narrow this down.
But why don't we just kick out a couple of engines and pretend we have to make an emergency landing?
Scotty, we're dealing with a nut. Anything out of line could trigger him. And we don't know that there's anyone like this aboard. It's only a tip.
How about having one of El Presidente's guards make a tour of the plane and see if he recognizes anyone?
If he did know the guy would know him. That would start the fireworks. Besides, if the other side really sent out a martyr like this, he's either someone they wouldn't know or in disguise. Look, let's take this step by step.
Sure, Deke.
Now, let's start with the manifest list.
You have it right here.
Now, this never came up for me before. But can you tell from it when each passenger booked passage?
No, you'd have to get that from the ground.
They'd know.
Sure, it's all computerized.
Hold on a minute. Control, this is Captain Deacon Barnett, flight 801. Request urgent info, priority 1. That's right, urgent. I receive first channel, all bookings made on our manifest list prior to... Hold it. Angie, what's Ramirez's first name and his crew?
Jaime Ramirez.
Jaime Ramirez.
Hernando Perez.
Hernando Perez.
Arturo Martinez and Irving Marcos.
Arturo Martinez and Irving Marcos. Check me back soonest. Now, while we're waiting, let's check off your regulars. Or anyone else you think you can clear. This may be all a big nothing, but if it isn't, we better pinpoint this guy. Or that's what we're all going to end up. Thanks, OB. I'll be in touch. And for heaven's sake, you keep in touch with me. 801 out.
Huh? What's the story?
Well, between booking dates, Angie's eliminations, and a couple of million-mile oldies, it pretty well narrows itself down.
How many?
7 plus 3.
Well, what's that mean?
First off, the president and his 3 bodyguards. We know they're armed.
Wish I'd insisted they'd check them with me.
Well, can't we count them out? I mean, aren't they his boys?
I'll take the chance we can. So, that leaves...
Sister Teresa of the San Andreas Mission, returning after 3 years in the field. Her sponsor, Monsignor Carey of the Ohio Diocese.
She seems clean enough. If she is the sister herself.
She has a big carpet bag, old-fashioned, with her.
Well, that's a bit suspicious.
Oh, not if you saw the sister. They go together. She must be 70 if she's a day.
What about this doctor?
Dr. Alcaniz? I don't know anything about him except that he doesn't like smokers. Either because he's an obstetrician or because he has asthma.
Oh, come on. There must be some lead.
I don't know. Mr. and Mrs. Jacobowitz. They went to visit their son, who's with the Peace Corps. Jim Hart. He's a mouthy little schmo. He's the son of the Hart banking family. Some kind of archaeologist or paleontologist or something.
So what about this Senor Ramos?
I don't know anything about him. Except he is like the doctor and the nun.
How's that?
Well, wherever they go, they hang on to the bags they have with them. Doctor's bag, briefcase, carpet bag. Which doesn't necessarily signify anything.
No, not under normal conditions.
Except, if you had a bomb, you wouldn't move anywhere, would you? Without having it exactly to hand.
I don't know. I never had a bomb.
Well, where do we go from here?
Yes, that's my little red wagon, as my father used to say. I'll check him out.
Oh.
I don't know. Very carefully. How long... would I have, do you think, if this scare is for real?
Not over half an hour. I mean, if I wanted to total this plane, I'd do it over open, deep water, like about half an hour from now. Now, I'm leveling, Angie, because what else can I do?
You couldn't just deck us or make some sort of deal?
No, this isn't a skyjack. This is, as my Nebraskan father used to quote from the good book, Armageddon. This man means to kill. And he expects to die in the God of Dameron. Like Hitler. But if he exists, I mean, let me remind you again, this is only a tip. We don't know for sure.
Then what should I do, Deke?
Okay. I'll level all the way. I'm sorry to dump this bath of blood on you, Angie, but I can't do it. I'm too obvious. Same goes for Scotty or any officer. You're just going to have to hunt them down one by one.
Well, I think we could narrow it down a little further. The two guys in the Million Mile Club, I've seen them on almost every tour I've flown. The Jacobowitzes, they're sound asleep under the same blanket and holding hands. She doesn't even have a handbag. I put it up in the locker.
Okay, they're off the list as of now.
The Hart kid. He's an heir to millions and a mouth. He's so nervous flying over water, he can't even light a match properly. Damn little fool burned my hand.
Hey, let's see.
Oh, it's nothing, Scotty. No, Deacon, unless one of the president's personal guard is a fifth columnist, it has to be one of three. The doctor, Senor Ramos, or Sister Teresa.
If it's anyone. That's the damn part of the whole thing. If I was sure this was more than a tip, if it was a fact, I could ditch this plane so fast nobody outside of this control room could handle a shock. Then when I pulled out, we could be ready to grab the guy while his brains are still scrambled. But that's almost as dangerous as a bomb itself. Busted eardrums, heart conditions.
Now, you know that isn't the answer. Angie, honey?
Yes, Scotty?
You can handle it. Now, check out those three. And if they're clean and nothing more comes up from ground control, we can all treat it as a false alarm. Right, Chief?
Way I figure. But don't take too much time, Angie. Soon as we're over deep water, it would be the time for anyone who wanted to do away with the president for sure. Like I said, you got about 30 minutes.
I think I'll start with the doctor. This burn gives me an excuse to get him to open his bag.
Happy hunting.
Just take care, babe. You're kind of important to me.
It works both ways, Scotty. But everyone on this plane is important to someone. We don't want to let anyone down.
Play it cool?
No. You know how it is. It's always jitter time when you visit a doctor. I just wish I had a better reason to see this particular obstetrician.
Now I join the rest of you as terror begins. And even if ground control is only passing on an unfounded, as yet, threat of disaster, I would be as conscious as Deke that there is on board the president of a country racked by revolution, where feelings of repression run so high that even ordinary people are no longer rational. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Of things like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way, but then nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world, but it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Brewery House Radio, somewhere in Ohio. And all over the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, someone made a comment on our page.
Yes.
And real quick, he wrote, someone I don't know. I have never seen this name before, but mentioned that that person had all 1,399 episodes of CBS Radio Mystery Theater loaded on an iPod, and when that person goes to bed, they set up a new episode to play with earphones to help mask the loud tinnitus that would otherwise keep that person from falling asleep.
Wow.
Oh, my.
See, radio is for your health, folks.
Yeah, well, and I tell you what, my mind is always wandering like you guys can't figure that out. And I'm always thinking, and when I'm thinking, I can't sleep. So I run old radio programs that I listen to, and I concentrate on the stories, just one thing, and then I'm able to drift off to sleep.
See, I'm more like Yosemite Sam. When I'm thinking, my head hurts.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but I thought that was interesting because Dave had shared that before with me about how that was like sleep therapy for him. And this gentleman or lady also uses radio for good health reasons. And besides that, it's damn entertaining.
It is, you know, and there are just so many wonderful stories there as well as everywhere else. But, you know, there's so many wonderful mystery theaters that even the ones that are okay are still good entertainment. I've been spoiled because I've heard so many of the really good ones that I get kind of spoiled with some of the when I get them to the one that's just a decent story, not a great story, but a decent story, you know, that I've been spoiled. What can I say?
Spoiled rotten, like somebody's collie, but I won't get into that. Spoiled, rotten, Brad. But adorable. Absolutely adorable. Let's continue with our deadly dilemma from CBS Radio Mystery Theater and see where this one goes.
The human being is a remarkably adaptable animal, but you can only adapt to what you know. How do you adapt to a situation which may not even exist? Which is Stewardess Angie Parsons' problem as she begins with Dr. Salvador Alcanis, obstetrician, and possibly the opposite of his chosen profession, possibly a man with some kind of bomb destined to have nothing to do with birth, but the sudden and terrible death of nearly 100 human beings.
Everything all right, Senor Medico?
Senorita, you are very kind to single me out.
It's my job. Can I get you anything?
No. No, I must find my own way from now on.
I beg your pardon?
Of course, that is a strange-sounding statement. I must explain. So I don't want to. I have just lost my wife of many years.
Oh, I am sorry.
You are muy simpático. I knew that the moment I came on the plane.
Why don't you take that heavy bag off your lap? Put it beside you on the seat. We have plenty of space.
I suppose it is very foolish. Hang on to it as some kind of symbol. A discredited one.
Beg pardon?
The symbol and remaining function of all my life.
Why?
The secrets one divulges in the clouds of the night. My wife died of cancer. Dollar Skiv could not save her.
I am sorry.
And so am I. But that will not bring her back, so I aim to work at destroying that and the other ills of society that brings me to your country for my own personal reasons.
What reasons?
Those I keep to myself.
Why don't you let me take your bag and make you a bed across these three seats? You could sleep.
No, I cannot sleep or rest. And the bag, I hold on to. But you mustn't waste any more time with me. As a persona, I'm nothing. As a doctor, I see only a magnificent specimen, a most beautiful woman in the full thrust of her health, as the young should be.
Oh, the young can get in trouble.
You?
Year before last I was skiing, I hit some powder snow on a downhill run, dug in, and broke the ulna bone in my leg.
I'm sure it healed as good as new.
Better than this burn on my hand, which one of the passengers gave me accidentally.
Okay. But, let me see. Ah, see, that is a nasty little bone. Let me see if I can find it. I'll find you something here. A little analgesic, a healing balm. So, maybe no blister, and at least nothing to hurt.
Well, it's very kind of you, Doctor, but I'm not worth the trouble.
Any individual is. Let me see. So, there we are.
Well, thank you.
Strange thing, this war, is it not? The only thing that is really important is the individual. For the rest, it could disappear in a cloud of smoke for me at the soonest moment.
Ah, Senor Ramos, did you have your drink?
Yes, I did. In fact, I was, how you say in American, I had two. Doublets.
Doubles? In so short a time.
Well, I am one big bad boy, no?
Well, that's up to your conscience.
I see. But better a short life than a merry one, no?
No. Why not a long life and the same?
We sympathetic one. And there is no one sitting here. Why don't you join me?
Don't you want to get some sleep?
Sleep I can get any time. Company of a beautiful woman is at best a lucky accident. Almost everyone is asleep. Cannot I plead? Is that a good word? That you join me? I brought some brandy and a glass down with me. We could share it.
Well, it's against rules still. Why don't you give me your briefcase and I'll put it on the seat behind you so that you can move over and I'll join you.
No problem. I move to the window seat to make room.
But your briefcase was...
For nada, I keep it with me.
Is it so precious? What's in it, the crown jewels?
What it contains is my business, senorita. What would it... pretty mariposa like you care about business affairs, eh? Large drink to what should be only between a man and a woman. Love, aventura amorosa de la corazón.
Oh, you'd better use both hands to pour your brandy, senor. We might hit an air pocket.
Oh, I'll take my chance. Did not you when you sat down here with me?
I just wanted to be sure you were all right.
You mean you think I drink too much, huh? I'm celebrating, my dear. Celebrating a new era. Death, in a sense, but a new birth.
What do you mean?
All in this such a the right word?
Yes, or briefcase.
Ah, see. Briefcase. In this day, excuse me. It is the end of a long, hard struggle. But I have brandy. It is good for sleeping, for stopping the mind from racing, for finding a little peace. Well, I am so suddenly cansado. Muy cansado.
Señor Ramos? Señor? I'm out like a light. Let's see if I can... Oh, there. That's it. Señor? Hasta la vista, amigo. I hope this thing doesn't have to be carried at just the right angle.
Oh, hostess.
Yes, sister.
I was wondering about my orange juice or whatever you have.
I'm so sorry, sister. Teresa, isn't it?
Sister Teresa.
I just have to take this to the captain and then I'll bring it to you.
No hurry. We are taught to be very patient, you know.
Whew.
Well, what's the word, Angie?
Oh, not the doctor, I don't think. He opened his bag without any hesitation, and all that seemed to be in there was, you know, stethoscope, blood pressure thing, bottles.
Any one of which could be nitroglycerin. Half a pint at this altitude would blow us to shreds.
What have you got in your hands?
I took this briefcase from Senor Ramos. I suppose I ought to be insulted in the midst of making a pass at me. He fell asleep.
That doesn't sound like any mad bomber.
Just the same, I'd like to get this out of my hands. He says it contains the secrets of a new tomorrow.
Any sound from it?
Hey, let me listen. It's quiet as a grave.
Oh, that's a great simile.
Don't open it.
Take it in the galley, Scotty. Put it in the sink. Fill it with water. Make sure it's well soaked before you open it.
Okay, Skipper.
Will do.
Any more word from ground control?
Not really, Angie, except they don't think it's a hoax. They don't report the source. The information seems reliable. How about the nun? Have you checked her out yet?
No, she's the last. Because it's so ridiculous. A little, round, wrinkled butterball who could have been everybody's mother.
Your little, round butterball may turn out to be a Peter Lorre in disguise. Getting over wide open sea, and I'm getting the jitters. Better take care of it now.
I have a good excuse. She asked for some orange juice.
Wish we could slip a Mickey in it, just in case.
Oh, just one thing about the doctor, Deke.
What?
I tried throwing him a little curve just to see if he checked out.
What do you mean, a curve?
Well, it was when he noticed the burn on my hand and wanted to fix it. It's nothing, of course, but it was a great excuse to get him to open his bag.
Well, we've been over that.
Except for one thing. After I got him engaged in conversation, I told him about something that once happened to me.
So?
Well, I once had dreams of being a U.S. ski champion. I was way in over my head, and one year on a giant slalom, I blew it but good and was lucky to come out with nothing more than a fractured tibia. I said to the medico that what I broke was the ulna bone in my leg.
And he didn't react?
Well, he was busy at the moment, and besides, we do have different language roots.
Not in Latin. I don't like it, Angie. We've got to cover that, just in case. Okay, not your worry. What the hell, we're on automatic. I'll send the flight lieutenant back to ride herd on the doctor. Till we get, gods be willing, some more definite news. Groundside.
How's it going?
Well, what do I answer to that, honey? I'm a grown man doing a ridiculous and possibly destructive thing because a voice on the pipe threw the fear of God in us. A plain old briefcase, and I'm soaking it in the sink.
If the plain old briefcase contains a bomb...
Supposing it doesn't contain a bomb, are our faces red?
Scotty, what's the word?
Well, the airlines are going to have one plenty mad customer named Ramos.
What do you mean?
Ah, the poor guy. His briefcase is filled with nothing but blueprints and a mock-up of a new kind of sailing vessel that doesn't use a helm.
No rudder?
That's right. It's a main centerboard plus a rear centerboard with a kind of a tiller that controls both. It's pretty hard to tell. It's all washed out after the soaking.
Well, never mind that now. Airline will compensate him. Maybe back him. Who knows? The big deal is that this rules out him as our bomber.
Two rights.
So that narrows it down to the nun, if that's what she is.
I guess, unless the doctor has some nitro in a bottle.
Oh, you can rest easy about him. I sent Billy back to sit behind him. Can't make a move without Billy laying a hammerlock on him.
But how about Angie?
She seems pretty well able to take care of herself, especially with a nun.
Unless the nun isn't a nun. Deke, what the hell am I going to do? That's my girl out there, and there are 84 people on this plane.
Knock it off. I have some dependents, too, beyond our passenger list. And who wants to get killed in some senseless way that has nothing to do with any of us? I want you to take over the ship. We can take a small deck cruise and see how things size up.
Why can't I do that?
Because your girl is right in the middle of this.
Just the point.
You're too closely involved. But we've been a team a long while, Scotty. You let me handle this. I won't let Angie come to harm any more than you would.
I guess you're right.
There's nothing like a neutral observer when you don't know whether a war is in progress or never had to happen at all.
Captain Barnett is right, of course. This may still be a normal flight, upset only because it has left a country boiling with unrest. Still, the political implications are threatening. There is on board the plane a man who, from the moment he acceded to power, had to be marked for possible death. The terrible thing is that the projected manner of his death is such that if El Presidente is to be assassinated, so will everyone else on Flight 801. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
I can't find a decent job. I mean, it's not like I haven't tried. There must be somebody who wants me, but I can't find him.
In this entire city, now, there must be one person I can hire with the qualifications I'm looking for. But why can't I find him?
There's a fast, modern employment service bringing people and jobs together. Job service. Last year, we filled over 4 million jobs. In 40 years, we've never charged a fee. We use computers, personal interviews, anything that puts the right person in the right job. If you don't have a job, or you're in the wrong job, or you're looking for someone to do a job, call Job Service, or you may never find each other.
We're working to get people working. Jobs for people, people for jobs.
For Job Service, contact your state employment service. A message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Labor.
Let me close the window.
It should be a time of harvest. But all too often in these days of high prices and fixed incomes, when city life can be overwhelming and when everything's moving faster, just when you feel like moving slower, it's painful to grow old. And most everybody does, you know. That's why Red Cross has so many programs to help the elderly. Red Cross volunteers, for instance, drive senior citizens to the doctors or Social Security. Our youngsters help in senior citizen centers.
Mrs. Martin, can I get you another cup of tea?
In many areas, Red Cross volunteers work in Meals on Wheels programs for older people. In fact, whatever the problem, your local Red Cross is there to help. If you need help, call us. If you can give help, call us. Either way, we need you. Because it's a cold world out there.
That it is, and it's a wonderfully hot day here in Ohio.
Or will be hotter soon. On Monday.
Yeah.
Yep, hotter on Monday. Should be hitting about 90, I say.
Yep, I'm doing the grill thing tomorrow. I'm avoiding that super heat.
Yeah, I think the grill thing on Monday. So I'm going to
the fire brigade.
The Hartville Flea Market. And in the morning, and then come back to do some grilling.
So flaming and grilling.
Yep. So don't worry, CW. It's not meat. They're hot dogs.
Yeah. There's some undetermined substance.
Okay,
we're
then.
Not sure what.
And you know what? I truly don't want to know.
Yeah.
Frankenfurter's made Dr. Frankenfurter's lab.
There you go.
Frankenfurter. The great one. Tim Curry.
I think they have plant hot dogs now, too. I'm not sure. I know they have plant sausage.
Oh, yeah,
they
do.
You could grill plant
they have,
hamburgers.
Yeah, you have Impossible Meat, I think, sausages. That sort of thing, Beyond Meat sausages. So definitely, those have been out for a while.
They have been, yeah. But I tell you what, those Beyond Meat burgers,
they're pretty expensive things.
They're pretty expensive things, Beyond Meat burgers.
They're quite tasty. Yeah, finally was able to get one after loitering for, I don't know, 5 or 6 days in the drive through with the Burger King. And finally got up to the line.
You think that, you know, with all these fast foods that aren't even open inside anymore, that they would be a little faster on the drive. They're just concentrating on one area. No. No. So I feel for you, CW.
Yes, I just left the vehicle there in line and walked back back to work and then back home and then walked back to the vehicle and drove up a couple of inches. Finally made it.
There you go.
At last.
Dale, they don't have any fast food restaurants in your town, do they?
Yeah, we do. We have Burger King. We have a McDonald's. We have a Taco Bell. We have a Domino's. We're a big small town. We're a big small town. About 10,000, maybe.
A Sonic or a Jack in the Box or a...
No. Not too many Jack in the Box in Ohio, if any.
No. We do have a few Sonics around. My closest one is probably in Streetsboro, and that's not as that far away, but if you were a crow and you could fly that way, it wouldn't be bad, but if you're in a car, you know, it there's no direct way to get there. It's a pain in the butt.
Yep.
Right, go.
There we go. Yeah. Poor guy got cut off earlier.
It's okay.
You must not cut off the goat.
Oh, yes. Poor goat.
Yep. But we got an interesting story going on now here. And he bets on who it is. So they think it's not the doctor. And now it's not the guy who the blueprints they ruined. That doesn't leave too many people.
I don't want to blame the nuns. So the nuns were always good to me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
Before
know.
Before or after
I'm...
that ruler came out flying at you. Naughty. Smack. Dale, your hand. Hand. Right
what do you
here.
Mean, rumor?
Dale, just put it right here.
What do you mean, rumor?
No, she said ruler. Ruler.
Oh.
She said
ruler.
Ruler.
Oh, yeah.
Ruler. Ruler.
Yeah. See, I like
Smack.
That.
You probably did.
Oh.
Harder next time, sister. Harder.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes, exactly.
Woo. Woo.
I sinned. Come on. Let me have it.
Calm. Naughty Dale. Oh, dear. Oh,
yes,
my.
I was. Terribly naughty. I'm a bad
Come
bad,
back
bad.
From the dark. Come back to the dark side.
We have come back to the dark side. We have cookies. All right. I don't know what that means. Deadly Dilemma. We will find out how this one ends now because we're wrapping it up with part 3, the conclusion. Dun, dun, dun.
Half an hour out from the South American continent, headed roughly north-northwest for New York, Flight 801 cruises serenely at 35,000 feet. Almost all her passengers are asleep, and under normal conditions, half her crew might be. But this is a special flight. Flight control has alerted them from the ground that there may be a maniac who, for political reasons, is ready to blow the great 747 out of the air.
So nice of you to bring me my orange juice. My mouth was really quite dry.
I don't blame you, Sister Teresa. It's a long, tiring flight. Do you mind if I sit with you for a moment?
Not at all.
I'll take your bag and put
Don't touch it. I'll hold it here in my lap.
It'll be perfectly safe.
It's safe where it is, and it isn't all that heavy. Please sit down.
You look so uncomfortable, can't I?
No, I want it this way.
You must have something very important in there.
I do.
Really? Church relics?
Not exactly. Why would you ask that?
Well, you have been with a mission in South America. I thought perhaps you might have discovered some relics to bring back with you. I mean, since you're so protective about the bag.
Relics? Yes, in a sense. And I am protective about it.
You're going back to New York?
Oh, dear me, no. My diocese is in the Middle West. I imagine I'll be assigned to Cleveland.
For heaven's sake.
I hope so.
No, I didn't mean that. It's my hometown. I was born there. You know Cleveland?
Oh, yes. I spent several years there before I was sent on my mission.
On the east or the west side?
On the east side.
Anywhere near Cleveland Heights?
Why do you ask?
Oh, well, that's just where I was born. On the corner of Huff and Euclid Avenues. I think I remember there was a big convent.
Oh, I come from a very small order. We don't live in a convent. Just one of those big old houses, you know.
Near the playhouse?
Beg pardon?
I said, is it near the Cleveland Playhouse?
Not far from there. Do you have the time, my dear?
Why, yes, it's a quarter to one.
Give me 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Why, yes, to tell my beads, you know. To say a little prayer for all of us.
You're quite sure you don't want me to take that bag for you?
Very sure.
I've never really seen one quite like it.
It was my father's. Really quite roomy. It was just the right size. They were called carpet bags, you know, because they were made out of carpet.
Why, you're right.
Don't touch it, please.
I'm sorry. I was just interested. Is it lined inside or just the back of the carpet? I'd love to have a look.
No. There's nothing to look at, really. Nothing you'd want to see.
Well, I'm really quite interested.
Well, I'm sorry, but it would embarrass me to open it. What time is it now, please?
It's about 12 minutes to.
Oh, this is Deke, Scotty. Everything all right with you?
Yeah, steady she goes. Where are you?
The tail galley. Any further news from ground control?
Not a peep. What's doing out there?
Your girl is talking to the nun up in first class. I'm going to stroll by on my way back and check things out.
Yeah. And for Pete's sake, don't leave her alone with me. Hold it. Flight 801. Co-pilot Scott speaking. What? That's for dead sure? Good Lord. Look, I think we got her. Keep your fingers crossed we're in time or you're going to be out one plane, crew and passengers. Deke, that was control. The tip is confirmed. There is someone aboard with enough nitro to blow us to kingdom come.
Maybe it's the doctor after all.
No.
You fly the plane, Scotty. I'll handle this.
Anything wrong, Captain?
No, just stretching my legs a little.
Are we over deep water now?
Yeah, just passing over the Antilles. We'll be in about 10 minutes. Don't be nervous.
I won't be. Oh, what time do you have?
11 minutes to 1. Why don't you put your bag under the seat and take a nap? Oh, excuse me. I'm needed up front. Bill?
Yeah, Captain?
Don't say anything. Just follow me and back me up, whatever I do. Close the curtain, Billy. Hello, ladies.
Oh, Captain. The sister and I are having a nice little chat. This is Sister Teresa.
Hello.
Our Captain, Deacon Barnett. And our flight engineer, Bill Stoke.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you, Sister Teresa.
Me too, Mom.
Well, we don't often have the pleasure.
May I say the protection of a nun aboard?
I don't very often get to fly. And this is the first time ever in first class. I've never been so far up front.
Well, how would you like to go all the way?
I beg pardon.
Oh, I meant, how would you like to be our guest in the cockpit and see how we fly one of these monsters?
Oh, that would be very exciting.
Well, then, consider it an invitation. Here, I'll take your bag for you.
Oh, no, I couldn't leave it.
I'll watch it for you. I'm on a rest break anyway.
No, I'll just carry it myself.
She's very attached to it, and she says it isn't as heavy as it looks.
Oh, very well. Whatever the sister wants.
We old ladies get so set in our habits. Oh, what time is it?
10 minutes before one.
It'll have to be just a short visit. I must be back in my seat by one.
Well, whatever you wish. Bill, if you'll escort Sister Teresa, Angie and I will follow.
I'll go first, Captain, so I can open the door.
I'm following you.
She's got some kind of box in that bag.
It's her. Controls confirmed. When I grab her arms, get that bag away from her. But don't open it. Okay?
Roger.
Let's go.
Oh, my. All those instruments. It looks as though there would be enough to take you to the moon and back. How can you ever... What are you...
Grab the bag. Help her, Bill.
No.
I got it.
No, don't.
It just came open. There's no catch on it. What's inside?
Oh, it's an animal carrier. Oh, there's a cat inside. I can see
Please, Captain. You're hurting me. I know it's against all the rules, and I'll have to do penance for it. But I couldn't think of poor Tommy riding back there in the luggage compartment. 20 years we've been together, Tommy and I, and I had to have him with me on his last journey. Besides, I wasn't sure the air people would allow him on the plane at all.
Oh, why not?
Because... He's dead, you see. He passed away to his final reward before I ever got him on the plane. I was taking him home to bury him in our little convent garden. All the nuns loved Tommy, and he did them. He'd want to be near them.
A dead cat. Oh, it'd be funny if... What the devil are we going to do now?
Maybe I should have taken poor Sister Teresa back to her seat instead of sending Bill back with her.
No. I need you to go over that manifest with me again. Scotty, got a cigarette?
Oh, yeah, here.
Thanks.
I'll light it for you.
Give me those. Women with matches are a positive menace.
What do you mean?
Haven't you ever noticed? A man always strikes a match towards him. Women always strike them away from him. I've got more spark burns. What is it, Angie? What's wrong?
The burn I got from the guy who's listed as James Hart. That's the way he struck a match, away from him. And come to think of it, he has a kind of strange voice. He could be a woman.
I think Angie's got it, see?
Yeah,
he was just asking me when we'd be over deep water. Look, got to work fast. Scotty, are we on automatic?
Yes, Skipper.
Give me one of your socks.
How do I... What?
Don't ask questions. Angie, get me a bar of soap.
Okay.
I'm not taking any chances. Man or woman, I'm going to cold cock that bird. We can apologize later if we made a mistake. Okay, Angie. Above and beyond the call of duty. I'd have brought Bill, but I'm afraid two uniforms might alarm you.
It's okay. After all,
hold it. Everything all right, Sister Teresa?
Oh, yes, except what are you going to do about...
Oh, now, don't you worry about that. Angie and me will take care of you.
I know you will. I'd say you have all my faith, except that I owe that to someone else. But I do trust you.
Thank you, Sister.
Let's go. You go first. Stop at that seat before his and find some excuse to be busy. Once I'm past him, pow,
And you grab that bag.
Yes, sir, Deke. I've got you. Here goes. Oh, you don't have a pillow. I'm sorry. Let me help you get a little more comfortable. If you'll just sit forward a moment, I can...
It is 1 o'clock yet, hostess. I've got to know.
Grab the bag, Angie. Grab it fast.
I've got it. How about him or her or whatever it is?
Oh, like a light.
You didn't.
No. Now, that's the value of the sock pacifier. It just sends you off safely for a short while to never land. Well, better her or him than all the rest of us.
You get rid of us?
Yep. Enough nitro to blow up the Elizabeth II, let alone us.
Who is she?
She's Hart's twin sister. She belongs to some way-out organization. Got her locked back there in one of the galleys, screaming about fascists and the CIA, and unless she was ready to die to stop exploitation and colonial... She saw the kid is crazy. She'd actually have killed nearly 100 people to get rid of El Presidente, who happens to be a middle-of-the-roader. The best thing that's happened to his country in the last 100 years. Scotty, give me a cigarette. This one I'll light myself.
Honey. Honey, are you all right?
Yes, sure. Did you see the way Deke struck that match? Away from him.
I did? Well, how do you like that?
No, I was so sure. Piece of luck for all of us, you were.
I don't know. It's 1 o'clock.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Sister Teresa is telling her rosary. She said she'd be praying for all of us. I think it was a lot more than just luck.
Chance or the positive power of prayer. Figure it how you will. The important thing is that Flight 801 is safe, and all its passengers and crew, and poor old Tommy, is headed safely for his last resting place. I'll be back shortly. The war's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who serve their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Felicia Hart received a suspended sentence and was remanded to a psychiatric institute where there is some chance that she may make a recovery. At least she identified the group of revolutionaries who had talked her into the terrible act she might have committed. Their organization was disbanded and the members banished. Scotty and Angie were married with Deke as best man. Oh, incidentally, Deke Barnett has given up smoking for good. Our cast included William Prince, Patricia Elliott, Earl Hammond, Ian Martin, and Hetty Galen. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And
Twitter.
Now, a preview of our next tale. We had spent a lifetime seeking it. Or rather, seeking him.
Gunther. Look.
Dear Lord. He doesn't look alive.
Yes, but he's breathing. You can see him breathe, Doctor. How can we be sure? There's barely any resemblance. He's 86 years old, Gunther. What did you expect? But we are sure it's him. It's him. The one we have sought for so long. I must try to speak to him.
He's unconscious. He won't hear you.
I must try. My Führer. My Führer. Can you hear me? My Führer. We have come to take you home.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
That would have been a story about Schicklgruber.
I did listen to that story. It's an interesting tale, Dale. You'll have to bring that sometime.
Perhaps they'll have as a special guest in that radio play.
Filling the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
Kixie!
Oh. Love the harp. Love the harp.
Yes.
Very beautiful. Dave, do we have anything to learn from this, Jim?
We do. We do indeed.
Oh, heaven help us. Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar. Cold cocking a bad bomber is the best way to defuse the situation. Just sock it to them.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
he made the co-pilot take his sock off. You know, come on. You know, take your own sock off.
No kidding. Ew.
I'm surprised.
I was having a laugh.
And I love it.
I'm surprised the person didn't smell that one coming.
And I don't have...
Oh, shit.
Okay, well, P-U.
Indeed.
I must say that, I don't have a great deal of experience with matches. Not that I haven't played with my share of matches, arson, but I digress. The towards you versus away from you scenario, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah.
I don't believe the precept of this story. I don't believe that only men strike a match one way and only women strike a match another way. I'm not buying it.
You didn't say only. They said predominantly.
Oh, well.
So it's like in Huckleberry Finn when the woman decided that Huck was a boy and not a girl by the way he caught the ball.
Ah.
And they don't all catch the ball the same way, but predominantly the guys will close their legs to close the gap where the women will open their legs in a situation like that. But those are not people who play softball and things like that, you know. So it's not always, but it's a predominant type thing.
Ah, I feel edumacated.
Yes.
That's what we do
Erie
House.
You should see me. Yeah.
We see me
swinging a bat when I'm coming at you.
Yeah.
Yep, all I got to say is one wrong thing, and here comes the bat. No. I hope. I'll pay you extra. Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, I think it's time for that. Music.
Ah, that music. I'll bet I know exactly
music.
What music you mean.
Scrolling.
Oh, one. There you are.
There you go. There you go. I feel so primal.
Wow. And speaking of primal, if I can interject for a quick moment, to any and all listeners out there, any and all listeners who work in the very taxing field of the fast food industry, no hard feelings about me saying I had to wait 568 years to get my Impossible Burger. I know your jobs are very hard and kind of thankless. So, again, I was happy to wait, you know. I was totally patient, you know, no biggie. Well, I did
have
to wait.
Almost wait our turn.
But, however, although, yes, we must wait our turn.
We must.
We must.
Learn that in kindergarten. All right. Ready, Dale?
Sure. Turn back the hand of time. And here's a little info about the origin of the bomb.
That's right. Caveman times were never good for those in need of protecting themselves. After all, sticks and stones may break their bones, and that's all they had to protect them. And when your means of defense will hurt you when you don't use it correctly, you're just asking for trouble. Let's face it, rocks don't come with a set of directions, and even if they did, they couldn't read them. They were cavemen. This made cavemen very safe from one another. The closest thing they had to a weapon of mass destruction was a boulder going downhill. But no one had a pry bar to get the boulder rolling. So there was one time the big Zerg got so mad that he tried to push a boulder on to Gag the cave comic. Big Zerg was angry because he thought Gag was making fun of him, which he was because he was a cave comic. The problem occurred when Big Zerg tried to pry the boulder while standing in front of it. And like I said, rocks don't come with instructions. I'm sure you already guessed what happened. Big Zerg dislodged the boulder and it rolled over top of him, and hence he was known as Big Flat Zerg. So cavemen, being safe from one another, it made it safe for one tribe from one another as well. That is until Ugg invented the bomb. Now, like so many other things, this started out as a good purpose. This accidentally was turned into something beyond its original intent. Because what Ugg was actually trying to invent was a vacuum cleaner. And since there was no electricity except for lightning bolts, and no one was, or to this day is, ready for a lightning bolt cleaner, this would be manual. What happened was that Ugg was down among the giant bean pods, picking his dinner, when he tripped and fell upon one of the bean pods. Not only did the bean pod break his fall, but one of the beans shot out of the pod. And when he got up from the pod, the bean was sucked back into by the vacuum of the pod. Ugg picked up the pod and squeezed it until a bean shot out, and then sucked it back up with the vacuum of the pod. Realizing what he had done, Ugg took the giant bean pod back to his cave, where he promptly squeezed all the beans into his bowl and then proceeded to pick up all the dust and dirt and bat droppings off his floor by squeezing his bean pod much like you would an accordion and sucked them into the pod. Sooner than you can imagine, Ugg had his floor cleaned and the pod cleaner filled up with dirt, dust, and bat droppings, with the pod expanding to double its original size. Not being able to contain his excitement, he called the tribe meeting to show off his latest invention. By the time the cave tribe had assembled, it was dark, and everyone had gathered around a campfire. What Ugg hadn't realized is that the bean pod dried out from the nearby fire, and that one of the vines that he had sucked up with his pod vacuum was sticking out of the pod and soon ignited from a spark from the fire. Ugg was beginning to explain his discovery when the lighted vine finally made its way to the overstuffed, dried-out pod vacuum, and once the fire hit the bean pod, it exploded, spewing all its contents into the air and all over everyone. Just when he thought he invented the first vacuum cleaner, he realized that he invented the first dirty bomb. Now, everyone ran in terror for the lake and jumped in to get all the dirt and dust and fat droppings washed off them. And when things calmed down, Ugg was sure that he would be banned from the tribe. But the wisest of the cavemen, which were actually women, decided that this would be a great defense against other tribes in case they were attacked, and commissioned Ugg to make many dirty bombs to be placed in strategic places around the cave yard. When the word got out that other cavemen tribes, that Ugg's clan had these dirty bombs, they wanted one too. So in one quick day, Ugg had created the vacuum cleaner, the dirty bomb, and proliferation. Not a bad day's work, even for Ugg the caveman, the greatest inventor of all times.
Well, that's another one from Ugg, the grandfather of all technology. I'm telling you right now.
I'm telling you, we'll get there, man. We'll find out a way that he someday invented that. So anyway, there we go.
There we go. Thank you.
Wow,
Ugg.
Untold history.
And unfounded
right.
history that we refound.
And unprovable.
Well, yes, welcome to unprovable and totally lost history, where it's maybe should have been lost.
Yes.
Never to be found. Yep.
Never to
but
be
we found
found
it
again.
Right here on Erie House Radio.
Indeedy doo da day. We got a little time left. We do.
Oh, and we reloaded some songs there for you to refresh it, Dale.
Excellent. Do I have to refresh?
Probably.
You've been a
sprinkle a day
bee.
Keeps the odor away, you know.
Have
you had
your
sprinkle
today? Oh, God. Pretty pathetic that we both know that.
No.
Scrolling,
they don't do
scrolling.
That anymore, not since that big lawsuit.
Yeah, basically that was a talcum powder, wasn't it?
Yep.
Is that what that was? Shower to shower.
Yep.
Is that what the name of the product was? Shower to shower?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anywho, we got time enough for a quick song.
Yeah,
got
so.
Something. Got something kind of fun
okay.
here. Let's sneak this in, and we'll have a little bit of chance to chit-chat after that. And
okay.
stick around,
Ooh.
Folks,
I'll
for this one.
Chico, right here, I'd like the passengers to meet your beautiful and diminutive little blonde vocalist, Kim Kimberly. How about that?
Now you're talking to boss. Hey, Kim, come over here, honey. Hey, tell her business, he cute.
No, she really is, Chico.
Oh, please, Chico, you mustn't put your arm around me.
What's the matter, Kim? Ain't I going to take you to Hollywood and make a big star out of you?
I don't want to be in pictures with you and your brothers.
What's the matter with my brothers?
Don't you know?
Sure, but I didn't think you did.
I'm afraid of that little guy with the red hair. I'm a blonde, and I'm afraid he's chasing me all around.
You mean the hoppo? Well, don't worry, Kim. He chases you around, but he don't mean nothing.
No?
No. Look, I chase you around, don't I?
Yeah.
Well, I mean something.
Don't let him scare you, Kim. I think what he really means is that he wants you to sing that sensational number, Mr. 5x5.
Thank you.
tall and he's 5 feet wide. He don't measure no more from head to toe than he do from side to side. Mr. Five-by-five got 15 chins and a line of jive. He's a Malibu cat, a real head fat. He be Mr. Five-by-five. That man can really jump a car on that man. The only trouble is there's no way of knowing whether he's coming on or going. Mr. Five-by-five, he's slightly plump on the solid side. He don't shake it no more from head to toe than he do from side to side.
Five, smoke yours now while you got them. All right, there we go as we wrap up our blast of a weekend here on Erie House Radio.
Yep.
Yeah, Mr. Five by Five.
By the way, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. on the Vortex, Weirdness Really Bad Movie will be there with the Kennel Murder Case, which we filmed from the doggy daycare place in Cuyahoga Falls.
Is that this Monday or Tuesday?
That's this Tuesday.
Tuesday.
9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, but we're in Eastern, so I'll be there at 9 p.m., hopefully chatting with all you that may be there to see our Weirdness Really Bad movie. Fun show. Good old Philo Vance movie.
Good times.
With William Powell, not to be confused with Dick Powell.
Yep. Next week, we're cutting our heads off, man. We're losing our heads over radio next week.
We are.
Oh, wow.
Little decapitation. Little decapitation.
A little bit of headless things going on, yeah.
Yep. About time we got
there's
something
the
more cheerful.
There's the guillotine. Pick your point. Will it be the accident? Will it be the guillotine? Pick your poison.
That's right, Ichabod. Don't forget to be here at 6:30 Friday night. What do we got Friday? Dark Fantasy. Bob Sterling, American Ranger, and Sherlock Holmes. And Story Lady.
The Story Lady is in, yes.
And on Saturday, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and maybe a really cool tune. From Bing Crosby.
Got a couple of them.
Never know.
Got a couple of them there. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So don't lose your heads. We'll do that for you. Next.
That's right.
Yeah.
Weekend. And it's time for Vincent to come on in here in just a few moments with the new improved outro. Chrissy O'Dave. Except I lost it now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, phew. Why did it go back?
Have a great
two
holiday,
today?
Everyone.
Yes.
Yes, enjoy your Memorial Day, and don't burn down the house, just the grill.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her!
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Yeah, what's that?
Don't come alone.
Can you
dig it?
Well done, sir.
Well, there we are. I hope that it was really kind of a, I don't know, I got it about halfway done, about a quarter of the way done, and just didn't know how to finish off the story. So I finished it up about 10 minutes before I called in, Dale.
That was a Ugg story?
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
So I hope it worked okay, because
it did. Ugg nicely just, done.
Yep. Ugg is the grand innovator of everything.
Someday I'll have enough stories to put together another one of my self-published books.
There you go. Available on Amazon, yes.
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Like my book, How to Go to a Bar Alone and Stay That Way. I do have that.
How to do
there.
What?
How to Go to a Bar Alone and Stay That Way. It's the ultimate guide for the average American male who's single, wants to stay that way, and couldn't get a date anyway. Actually, I started that. I co-wrote that back in my college days when we weren't good at picking up women. And so we figured we'd write something about that which we knew. And I hung on to it and rewrote it several times, parts of it, to put it in there. It is available on Amazon, along with Mod Mother Goose book that I wrote for I wrote the stuff for the Weirdness Really Bad Movie, and I had a friend of mine do all the artwork for it. Pretty interesting artwork. And then I did put together a Christmas book of O. Henry stories, holiday book of O. Henry stories.
Nice.
And that's available on Amazon as well. Because, you know, there's been a lot of collections of O. Henry, but never a collection of his Christmas stuff.
Did he do the one I remember most readily is, what was it, The Gift of the Magi?
The Gift of the Magi. That's the one.
O. Henry?
Right. That's the one everybody knows about. But he wrote one about a hobo's Christmas, and he did a Western Christmas story. And there was at least one that was unfinished that got published to the point it was finished. That's in there. And I put in a Thanksgiving story as well.
Wow.
But
the Hobo's Christmas, I was wondering, because it's on YouTube, it's with Red Skelton with special guest star.
Yes, Vincent Price.
Vincent
Price. He did that for HBO,
and
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His Freddy the Freeloader and Vincent Price did this. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Off of O. Henry's. Oh, you must see it. It's wonderful. It's Freddy the Freeloader, Red Skelton's famous character
right.
he created, but also Vincent
right.
Price does this wonderful, urbane, upper crust professor, whatever, monocle and all, still a hobo, but very, very erudite, you know.
Yes. Awesome. I got to see that.
Yeah, it's a fun piece. I got to see it when it first came out. That also came out the same time that Rich Little did a version of A Christmas Carol, and he did it all with famous characters. I think W.C. Fields was Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, my
God. And Laurel and Hardy were the two guys coming in asking for the donations, and he did all the different parts.
That's great.
Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Who was Mrs. Cratchit? Carol Channing?
It may have been. I don't actually remember. But, yeah, that was one of the voices that he did do. Carol Channing. Yeah.
Oh, my stars.
Yeah.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah, well, hello, Jolly. Just goes to show anybody with any sort of voice can make it big. I mean, that woman had one of the most unusual speaking voices I've ever heard.
Yeah. She reminded me of the Fun Girls on Andy Griffith, the one with the real husky voice.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Fun Girls?
Hi,
doll. I've been smoking my whole life.
He's always tossing Andy's hair. Always tossing Andy's hair all over the place.
One of them just passed away recently. One of the fun girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The one that was more effeminate than the one we were just talking about. She was like a ditzy blonde.
I can't remember. Yeah.
I can't remember her name. Oh. I'm ashamed I don't know.
Nor I. I don't know. Someday perhaps I'll take a pilgrimage out to the town that's masquerading out there in North Carolina as Mayberry. They have a Mayberry day.
I'm always sad when a fun girl passes away, though.
I bet you are.
I don't doubt it.
Sad day, sad day.
Oh, dear.
I'll have to gather myself here to get through.
Compose yourself. Compose yourself.
I'm trying really hard. Yeah, quite a weekend of birthdays. All our infamous and one Western
different
star,
years,
of course.
Mind you, but different years, but all of them. I mean, Sir Peter Cushing, Sir Christopher Lee, and although Vincent Price was American, he should have gotten a knighthood just because.
Who? Christopher Lee never got knighted?
Oh, he did get knighted, definitely.
I should hope. That guy did everything in the world.
Oh, my God. It took them long enough to get around to it. And to say nothing of the fact they should have knighted Peter Cushing way before. They knighted him just before he passed away. And I agree with what Sir Christopher Lee said. It was a little too late because he knew his friend should have been knighted ages ago.
Yeah. Well, it's still better
by
than
the way, posthumously. In our little chat group, I put in our I put in my book, the How to Go to a Bar Alone and Stay That Way. So.
And stay that way.
Just eat a pound of garlic and say hi, doll, to everyone around you. That'll work.
It used to be you started talking about your comic book collection, but that has changed, thankfully.
Yeah.
Is that what drives the women away? Now there's, you know, just there's some.
It's true. When you hear a guy talking about, I don't know, it depends. If a guy's talking about his, his Pokemon collection, that's one thing. But if he starts talking about Sailor Moon, step away.
Yeah. That's problematic right there. I'd worry about that guy. Yeah, we're not going to visit any schools anytime soon.
Step away.
Yeah, step away from the junior high school, please.
Yeah, please. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. That's horrible.
But, I mean, I'm so glad that Tim Ahern, your guest you had last time, you know, he's very acclimated with anime, the Hallyu. I think, you know, his books, I haven't read all of them. I've read snippets of all of them, with the exception of the one that's due to come out soon. I think it would make a great gaming thing if he ever was able to collaborate with someone who does board gaming and whatnot.
I think that's been suggested to him, if I'm not mistaken. Did we touch on that, Dave? I can't remember.
I think we did. I think.
Yes, we did.
I think when it touched on that, I think what he said was a lot of the reasons he got ideas for this was by setting up games.
Yes.
As a game master. And that gave him ideas for the stories themselves. So you could certainly do that in reverse, take the stories and work that into a scenario for the game.
Absolutely. You just got to quantify your characters and situations and make a game of it.
Most definitely. I mean,
cool
a lot
idea.
Of the Dungeons and Dragons, they didn't steal everything from Tolkien or Robert E. Howard. They got a lot of it from mythology.
Oh, yeah.
Things that were in public domain.
Yeah, and it's a shame because it would have been fun to keep those characters as they quantified them originally before they had to pull them.
Yeah, I mean, when is Robert E. Howard stuff going into public domain? That should be, what, about 9 years from now?
Unless his family's renewing it, I don't know.
I didn't think he had any family left. I just an estate that's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Eventually, even Steamboat Willie, as much as Disney is trying to fight it, Steamboat Willie will eventually go into public domain.
Well,
they've pushed it back.
Yeah, technically, Steamboat Willie is in public domain. However, the Mickey Mouse character is still trademarked, and that's how they protect Steamboat Willie.
Yeah. There's so many twists and turns to public domain. This is why Dave and myself and others tend to try to be real careful what we post. Nobody's perfect, but...
No. I hosted one show anymore, the Atomic Submarine, because like two or three public domain sites had it on, as well as listed on IMDb as being public domain, but apparently it is not public domain. You know,
really?
So you can try and be as careful as you can, but you don't know.
Yeah. You don't know until you get sued. Then it gets real clear when the case settles.
Until you get that cease and desist order, you just don't know.
Well, the cease and desist is just for the time being. It's when the court is settled, then you know where you stand. It's unfortunate.
It's just so hard. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who it was, but somebody finally put their foot down with, I think I mentioned this to you guys a couple of shows ago, that somebody put their foot down with, who was it, Columbia Pictures or something, because they were still getting royalties for the song Happy Birthday, and someone finally put their foot down who had enough money to go to court and say, no, we're not paying you for it, and they finally lost the rights to it, so it is now officially... planetary wide, yes, extraterrestrials can sing it without having to pay any money.
Yes, they can. And you know what? That song was like 150 years old, but what, in the 1920s, they added different words and they copyrighted it, and they tried to charge people for singing Happy Birthday.
Good heavens.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it wasn't even an original tune. It was not even original.
No, it wasn't.
Tune.
Yeah, I guess it was mid-1800s the thing was actually written or came about. Whether it was written or not, it came about.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Or, you know, hopefully somebody who will eventually have the rights and do what Prince did, kick off and not leave a will and leave the relatives scrambling all over the place. And in the meanwhile, everybody pulled every video and every piece of music he ever did, because he held it close to the vest while he was alive. But when he died, I guess he was of the opinion he had no heirs, none that he cared about anyway. He had no written will that anyone could find. So everything just went flying in the air, and he... videos were all over the internet. You could download them, get the music. I don't know if they've ever even stopped that. His will was in such, his estate was in such a mess.
Oh, gee. It's amazing, too, the guy of that stature, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, he had no children, at least none that anyone knows about. And he had a settlement with his ex-wife. He had a sister, he has a sister or half-sister, and again, he left no will. So I was of the opinion that he just didn't give a rip. Once he was gone, go for it.
And you know, and it's amazing how they can move things around. Like, Conan Doyle died quite a while ago, and basically his daughter got control of everything, and she had to essentially approve of anything that was done about Sherlock Holmes, and if for it to really be used. And she passed away, and the family, she was close to 100 or over 100 when she passed, and the family still has a way to hold on to the Sherlock Holmes character. I'm just saying, how the heck do you do this? Something that was, you know, at this point, close to 150 years old.
Yeah.
That why isn't something like that in public domain?
I don't know.
It's going to take...
I have mixed feelings about it because, like, when you're a creator and you make a living off your creations, if you're getting royalties or whatever, you know what I mean? Some of these people get royalty checks for years.
But he's not living. He's long gone. Even his daughters at this point is long gone. It doesn't mean you write something and your grandchildren should be able to live a life off of that if they didn't make the money before that. I don't know.
I
have mixed feelings on that.
True. I mean, some of the Desilu stuff still belongs. I Love Lucy. The family, they have any brains. They're going to hold on to that for as long as they can. That's the real moneymaker, with all due respect to the other Lucy shows and the shows that Desi Arnaz produced on his own. Eventually, that's going to go in public domain. Even some of the Dick Van Dyke shows, not all of them, are in public domain because of the way they were produced.
Some of the first season, just like the most of the first season of the Beverly Hillbillies, fell into public domain. And that's before the company said, wait a minute, we can make money off of these. Then they snatched the rights back up again. Yeah. So, you know, it just, the rules for public domain are so crazy. I feel like, you know, creating content myself and basically giving all my work away, I guess it makes me feel like, you know, you don't get three lifetimes out of what you've created. You know, sometimes some of these people that wrote things that went to movie theater, movie studios and such, they didn't make the money. The studios did. And the studios get to hold on to it for 99 years now. And, you know, some of these things that we show that we can't show, Dale, are things that would be really cool to see again. I mean, some of the movies I've shown would never be seen if I didn't show them. I think.
Well, that's the whole thing with some of these lower budget films and stuff. You know, that's just a piece of history. I'd rather not see us forget.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I'm glad.
Or undervalued. Those movies had their place, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Bram Stoker's wife, his wife was still alive. He had passed away, and they neglected to get her rights for Dracula when they did Nosferatu. But someone happily had the wherewithal not to destroy all the copies, which is why we have the original Nosferatu. I get that. She was still alive. Just she should have made some money off it. But just like you said, Conan Doyle's great, 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 whatever the heck they are, I mean, the only way you're going to ever break that is someone's going to have a boatload of cash to take them to court and say, listen, this is well over 150 years old. We're not paying you for it. We're going to do the movie.
Yeah.
The court.
Well,
it's other people don't create things. I mean, I did a different Sherlock Holmes story myself. It was took place like 20 years after the last Watson documented story by Holmes. He did have a few where Watson didn't document them, but this took place 20 years after the last Watson documented story. And the mantle was taken up by Watson's son. So it was a little different twist on it. Matter of fact, it's one of the radio plays. I just haven't shared it yet.
Ooh, we got to have it.
Yes, please. And I don't know, did either one of you see that movie? It was quite good. It was called Enola Holmes, about Sherlock Holmes and his brother Mycroft's younger sister.
I have not.
No.
On that. Oh, you must see it. It's wonderful. Enola is essentially raised by their mother. Their mother is a very eccentric, very feminist before her time. She teaches her daughter all things. She's as intelligent as Sherlock and Mycroft, but because she's living in a time when women don't have that open door, and you just have this wonderful maze, everything, and I won't spoil it, but naturally, of course, Sherlock more than Mycroft, and in the books, Sherlock does own up to the fact that Mycroft is actually more intelligent in many respects than he is, but he understands his sister, and she's still legally a minor, so he asked to take the guardianship away from Mycroft, who doesn't have half the patience. So it's wonderful. Yeah, you need to see the movie. It's called Enola Holmes. Wonderful, wonderful movie. It has
it's a cool wrinkle.
Henry Cavill. Yeah, Henry Cavill is Sherlock Holmes, you know, Superman. And Helena Bonham Carter is the mother. Wonderful.
Oh, cool. I like her. She's a nut.
I can't remember her name. Yeah, she's crazy. She's great. But yeah, so here's the public domain. Let it go. Let it go. Give us public domain.
Yeah, a lot of the B movies the show were kind of just released because they were B movies, and again, they never saw volume. I remember, Dale, do you remember when Turner bought the library of several studios, and everybody thought he was nuts because they said, "What are you going to do with all this? There's no market for anything like that." And look what he has done with them. Look what he has done.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Famous last words.
As interesting as some studios are and some of the interesting things they make, they really don't understand what they have sometimes. You know, like television came and it was going to be the end of the movies. And what it did, it made more demand for movies, not only movies that were made, but movies that would be made for television. Then cable was going to kill movies. And then all of a sudden, cable was having all these movies. Now cable streaming service is going to kill movies. But what are they doing? They're making all these movies and series. You know, everything's going to kill the movies, and it never does.
No, because we like that kind of storytelling. It's like we feel about old-time radio as well as television and movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it's wonderful. I think more actors are getting more work than ever before.
Right, because there's a lot more independent producers now because of all the different streaming channels and such. And
it has to be backed by some
then there
big
were
mammoth
when the studios ran everything.
Studio. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can get just a little thing, just what you do, Dave. You know, get a green screen, get a decent smart device, hijack some of your friends and neighbors, kidnap, and get them in front of a camera, and you got a show.
Yep.
Nicely done, by the way.
Yep.
So, hey.
Gentlemen, I must be away, and with your kind permission, I'll bring in our favorite best friend, the one, the only, the Schnozola himself, to tickle the ivory.
Tickle
That's
away.
Right. We'll see you Tuesday.
Good night.
At our home.
It's time to say good night. What more than say but good night?
Whatever.
We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same. And inka-tinka-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
It was.